Well, we have a little... Go ahead, Mary. You can tell about this.
Well, we're going to rev it up again. We may have to pray a second time.
Right.
We're talking about partnering tonight. I don't know if they told you that's what we were going to share on.
They said that.
Oh, they already said it. Well, we're off to a good start here. And we would like to just give you a little reading that will demonstrate some of the misunderstandings that can come when men and women are trying to coordinate their lives together. And we're going to read you some notes that were attached to the pillow of a mother who had the flu. Her husband was well-meaning, but he had inherited the house and the kids. So on the first day, Monday morning, he wrote, "Dearest, sleep late. Everything's under control. The lunches are packed and the kids are off to school and the menu for dinner is planned. Your lunch is on a tray in the refrigerator. There's a fruit cup and finger sandwiches and a thermos of hot tea by the bedside. I'll see you around 6.
On Tuesday a.m., he wrote this, "Honey, sorry about that egg rack in the refrigerator. Hope you got back to sleep. Did the kids tell you about the Coke I put in their thermoses? The school might call you on this. Dinner may be a little late. I'm doing your door-to-door canvas for liver research. Your lunch is in the refrigerator. Hope you like leftover chili."
On Wednesday, "Dear Doris, why in the name of all that is sane would you put soap chips in a flour canister? If you have time, could you please come up with a likely spot for Chris's missing shoes? We've checked the clothes hamper, the garage, the back seat of the car, and the wood box. Did you know the school has a ruling on bedroom slippers? There's some cold pizza for you in a napkin in the oven drawer. I'll be late tonight. I'm driving the Girl Scouts to tour the meat packing plant."
Thursday a.m., "Doris, don't panic over water in the hallway. It crested last night at 9 p.m. We'll finish laundry tonight. Please pencil in answers to the following. 1, how do you turn on the garbage disposal? 2, how do you turn off the milkman? 3, why would that rotten kid leave his shoes and his boots? 4, how do you remove a Confederate flag inked on the palm of a small boy's hand? And 5, what do you do with leftovers when they begin to snap at you when you open the door? I don't know what you're having for lunch. Surprise me."
And finally on Friday, "Hey." "Don't drink from the pitcher by the sink. I'm trying to restore a pink shirt to its original white. Take heart. Tonight the ironing will be done. The clothes will be folded. The house will be clean. And dinner will be on time. I called your mother."
There is no question that there are differences in abilities and differences in experiences. I can cook 3 things well. Popcorn, I can do... I can do peanut butter sandwiches, and I can't remember the 3rd thing. I can do real well. But that's all right, because Mary could never do geometry. Ever. But we're going to work on that. We have a little thing we're going to work on in the next few years, is maybe when we retire, she's going to learn German.
Do I need geometry?
You asked me. No, this is another discussion. This is a serious discussion. Well, let's get on with what we're going to do tonight. We want to talk about partnering, and it did not come easy for us. We did not start out well. We're doing reasonably well now. But we still got a lot of gaps. Now, come on. Stay with me. This is going to get serious. It really is. The fact is that partnering is never easy, whether it be between men and women, or between men, or between women and women. Most seek partnering only when they're desperate. That is, when they cannot do something by themselves. And they finally realize that they cannot do it alone. Now, we're not going to tonight go into a lot of the scripture, a lot of difficult scripture in this area. Really, there's really not a lot. There are only three passages that people seem to spend all their time arguing over. And Al's already settled those in his tape and whatever. And if you have any arguments, talk with Al. And he'll answer them for you. But a couple passages that have been key for us is one in Ecclesiastes 4, which you know well. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. And then at the end of the 12th verse, it says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And then probably one of the most famous passages in Galatians. In Galatians 4, is it? Come on, help me out here. I had... Yes. But what did you say? 4:10. Oh, I'm in Ephesians. That's why it isn't there. It was a long day. It really was. I was sitting on Delta right by the engine, and I stood earplugs in. I mean, there was not a seat farther back. It was the one where they put the bar up and said, don't go beyond this point. But, okay, yeah, 4:10. That's the one I wanted. But when we read in here about the co-laborship of men and women, why am I having a hard time seeing this? No, not 4:10, Helene. Just a minute. I'm in a different. I'm working in a different Bible than I normally use. They're neither Jew nor Greek.
3:20.
There it is. Okay, got it. Scripture memory used to be good. Okay. When it says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for all of you were baptized into Christ Jesus, have clothed yourselves with Christ. Then when it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you all are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now it is true that in God we are all one, but yet we're all different. This does not say that there are not differences. It does not say that there are not differences of purpose and differences of function and differences of the way we operate, either amongst men or amongst women or between men and women. There are a lot of different issues that we run into whenever we partner. Now I'm talking about partnering on a very general level, just on teams. Differences of position, differences of age, differences of experience, personality, gifts, vision, many, many things make partnering a problem. And when we bring in the added dimension of partnering between men and women, we bring in additional issues and problems, some of which we make for ourselves. There is a natural gender difference. There is a difference between men and women. There are prejudices of our past and of our present that no one easily grows out of. We were just down in Birmingham over the last few weeks, and next week, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be back down in our home territory, a home area where we first went to pilot training in Moultrie, Georgia, and I'd never been in the South. I'd never been in segregation. And when we were down there and had black water fountains and white water fountains and all the stuff that went on back in the late 50s, I mean, it was a shock to our system. We'd not grown up with that. But to even today, all kinds of prejudices linger onward. And so with all of us, we can't outlive all of our prejudices. And there are various interpretations of the biblical guidelines. And then there are the emotional involvements of marriage and dependency and many other things. Now, I was thinking this evening about the history that I have with the Navigators. When I first came around the Navs in the 50s, I didn't know much about them at all. But when I started getting real close to the Navs in the 60s, there were two things that bothered me significantly, and which would have been close to keeping me from coming full-time with the Navs. One of those was the attitude towards secular work. In other words, it was bad, and the kind of, you know, it's kind of the thing you do just to put bread on the table, and then if you really must work, do it, but it's really better to be full-time. You remember our era of that. And I had a great deal of difficulty with that, wrestling through that and talking with a number of our leaders at that time. The second thing was my observations on how we treated women in the organization. And as I got into leadership, it became very clear to me that if I were a woman, I'm not sure I'd want to stick around the Navigators. It really was not very attractive. And I came very much to respect, especially the single women who hung in with us through some very, very difficult times. Because I think had I been in their shoes, I would not have been nearly so patient and probably would have just told the Navigators to go hang it up. Now, I'd like to come back to that a little bit later. But the fact was, and back in those times in our history, there were some incredible pressures on women. There were pressures on women to be and do and act in a certain way, whether they were married or whether they were single. And most of our single women came under incredible pressure to be married. So did the single men, for that matter. But it was kind of like, that is the only value, and you don't have your proper value unless you are married. Just like today, there are some who, for one reason or another, cannot have children. And there is something that some people feel are missing when a couple does not have children. I'll come back to that perhaps a little later, and we'll address this. What Mary and I would like to do tonight, and she is going to come back on, we want to address partnering from two viewpoints. One is partnering in marriage, and one is partnering with men and women in the ministry, whether single or married. And just a couple observations that we want to make first. First and foremost, we're partners in the gospel. Not in the Navigators, not in the Navigator vision, not in our personal fulfillment. But first and foremost, we are partners for the glory of God and for the proclamation of the gospel. We have equal responsibility for that, and we must fulfill that responsibility. But just as gifts differ, there are different ways that we do it. And people need to see God in the way we relate to one another. Second thing that we want to point out is that we really must recognize the differences. And it's not an issue of superiority or inferiority. It is a difference. It's sometimes an emotional makeup. It's a difference in relating patterns. Mary and I, when we did this book on friends and friendship, The Secret of Drawing Closer, it reflected a lot of things that related to how I saw us relating in the Navigators as friends in our relationships. But I so clearly remember that we were going to put a section in the book on the differences between friendships of men and friendships of women. And the editor that we had at that point was a woman who really was opposed to that. We had quite a discussion that feeling, no, there should be absolutely no differences in the way we relate. And I shouldn't have, or we shouldn't have, but we gave in and did not put that section in. But in all the seminars we did, we found that it should have been there, and we included significant differences in the way men and women develop friendships. It's as different as night and day. There are some elements that are the same, but it is different. And so we need to be willing to realize there are differences. And the differences are beautiful and beneficial. They're not bad.
Anytime we start with partnering, We don't start with the other person. We start with ourselves and what we are going to bring, what we are going to contribute to the partnership. And I know this is familiar, but unless we are in obedience to Christ, we are not going to have much to bring either to a marriage or to a ministry partnership. Is the Lord first in our lives? Are we living in obedience? Are we growing? I see some other gray heads sitting in the room. Are we still growing and vital and pressing ahead? And are we committed to one another? It really takes it to make the partnership keep moving. And do we have personal convictions and vision that we can bring to this partnership? When Jerry and I were asked, well, Lauren asked Jerry, would you consider coming full-time with the Navigators? And Jerry came home and repeated this question to me. And my immediate thought was, no. I love the life we have in the Air Force. It's a wonderful place of community and purpose and patriotism and reaching out to our neighbors and friends. And we can just sort of agree with the Navigators on the side. So after we had been praying for a bit, Jerry and I met with Lauren and Lucy. And I think Leroy and Virginia also, were there, yeah. Maybe. And we started talking, and Lauren said to me, Mary, are you committed to the Navigators? Do you want to do this? And I responded, I am willing to do whatever Jerry decides. And that was true. I was willing. Now, I'd had lots of experience in some sort of bizarre decisions that he'd made from time to time before that.
Yeah, right.
So, but I knew I could trust him. I was willing. And Lauren said, that's not good enough. He said, you need to have your own calling, conviction, and vision from God. And so then I began to rethink the whole thing. And the Lord, just through my reading program, would bring thoughts to me, like from Ecclesiastes 3. You know, Mary, there is a time when you make some changes. And from Luke 9, I didn't want to put my hand to the plow and then be looking back. I wanted to be going ahead with that plow. And so just the thought that when we're in a partnering relationship, marriage or ministry, we need to have that vision together and that conviction together. So we thought we would share a little bit of our history in partnering in marriage. And Jerry, as you've noticed this evening, sometimes loses some of the things from the past. One thing I love about Jerry is that he can't remember when anybody does him wrong. And that's really a nice feature. I'm still working on that one myself.
Yeah.
But then he's forgotten some of the details. So if you wish, I'll share some early details. Jerry and I met at the University of Washington. I first saw Jerry when he and Ron Ortley and some others whose names you would recognize picked me up to take me to a certain church that was some distance from the university. So the first time I saw Jerry, he was wearing this nice navy, navy blue blazer and lime green checked slacks.
They were really nice.
I say in Jerry's defense that at the time that was
what's wrong with that?
Somebody else had some lime green. They're long gone. But our dating life was an indication to us what our life together would be like. We had about 6 dates just to ourselves, and the rest of the time we were surrounded with people. People were going here and there with us. And it was a wonderful indication of what life would be like. Now, we had to bring things into balance at some point in time. And just, have you ever noticed how some of these early indications should really be a clue to what this person's going to be like in the future? The first...
Some people just don't get it, though, dear.
The first year we knew one another, at the end of the term, Jerry was going to his home. Mine was on the way, so he was giving me a ride. He said, "Mary, I want you to have everything packed up concisely because we're not going to have this much room in the car." So when he came, I had these parcels and a few suitcases. But he hadn't had an opportunity to pack yet, so we went back to his residence, and he went racing into this house area where he lived and came running back out with a dresser drawer, which he emptied into the back seat.
I was very poor. I did not have a suitcase.
Here again, poor Jerry just can't remember any stories to tell on me, and I'm not about to remind him. But you can see how we had some opportunities to learn in our partnering arena. And then just going into our early marriage, we did not have a model that, or somebody coming alongside at that time to help us with our marriage. And when we were, say, 2 years into our marriage, we were so diversified, so scattered. I prepared a little list, which I thought Jerry could read, about the kinds of things that we were trying to do in those days.
I'm not going to read that.
He's not right.
Well, it is true. We were really involved in a number of things. I was teaching Sunday school. Mary was playing the organ at chapel. We had a small Bible study. I sang in the chapel. I sang in a local choral group. We went to the church in the evening. I was involved in photography. I played every sport on the base. Had 12 to 16 hour work days. We had two small children. I did speaking for the Air Force and traveled about, and that doesn't even start the list. I mean, we were doing everything.
So we were not focused.
And doing man-to-man with people and couple-to-couple with several couples.
So we were a mile wide and an inch deep, and we were not partnering. We were going our separate ways. And about 3 to 4 years into our marriage, we had this huge blow-up. I blew up, actually. And tried to...
I had no idea anything was wrong.
I'm not sure rehearsing this is all that helpful, but we did feel that, or I did, and said that we really needed to stop and take stock. I had never seen my parents quarrel, so I didn't have that pattern to approach Jerry and give him the way more perfect. And so we did have this big blow up, and we sat down, we began to reevaluate. Where are we going to put our strokes? Has anything that we've done been useful or lasting? And probably not. So the next time we moved, we were a little more focused, and we moved fairly close to Jack and Carol Mayhall and to Bob and Carolyn Sparks, who began to give us some help. And then when we moved out here to the Air Force Academy, that was really a big change in our lives because people helped us to zero in on a ministry and on our marriage and on our family. We are still learning. We tend to get too activity-centered, and I'm sure you could give us some help in there, or maybe some of you have that problem together. But it is necessary to begin to see how we can coordinate and move together, both in the marriage and in what we're doing for the Lord.
I think one of the things that we discovered was that as we were going both directions, my tendency was to say, "Mary, come along." You know, you just follow, do what I do, do what I say. And to some degree, I suppose that was okay, but it really wasn't, because Mary was losing her own personal identity. And we needed to figure out what is her contribution as well as what is mine. In fact, when we ran, and Fred Wibido here will remember this. Sorry about this, Fred, because this might indict you, okay? But Mary's view of the Navigator ministry in our home at the Air Force Academy was open, ungrateful mouths, in which we shoveled great quantities of food.
Which Jerry did not prepare.
That's right. But I brought the crowd in. You know, a restaurant has to have both a cook and an audience. Some of the guys, or you can probably remember this, some of the guys came back later after they were married and had kids of their own. They says, "I'm sorry. I had no idea what we were doing." But neither did we. See? And so we were being stretched. And at one point, in this particular time, Mary became very ill. Were you going to talk about this?
Mm-mm.
Can we?
Sure.
Okay. I came home one day and I found Mary in bed and crying. And I just came home in the middle of the day. I said, "What in the world is wrong?" Well, she was just totally worn out. She had no energy. We now had three kids and a lot of activities around the home, not like it was before. And so we got her to the doctor. We found out after quite a bit of investigation, especially they were interested in her since her mother died of a very, very rare disease. They thought she might have it. She just had mono. But what we had to do was to close out of our home for, I don't know, how long was it, a year and a half? Something like that?
Jack Mayhall gave us some good...
Yeah.
We were doing a student ministry, and he said, "You just let the women's ministry go for a year."
And the couples. And the couples.
And ministry. Couples. And you just... Jerry can work on the men's ministry, and then as strength returned, we... But that was really good advice. Just to take note of what was happening here and change things.
We basically had to close everything out of the house and run the ministry, the last section of a year of ministry at the Air Force Academy and then at Purdue University. We basically, except for just a very rare things, they couldn't use the home because Mary had to recover and to get back her strength. And so those are the kinds of things we've had to adjust in. Now, just a couple thoughts about partnering together as husband and wife, and we'll go back and forth on this as some ideas come. And by the way, we want to get into some Q&A time later. First of all, we do need to have a vision together. We are staff of the Navigators together, and therefore we have to have a ministry and our vision together. Now, if we had been separate, that may not have been the way it developed. But since God called us together, we need to have this ministry and the vision together. And that is not easy. Because there have been a lot of times that we have had some rather deep discussions about how much she did of my job and what were her responsibilities, because she doesn't have a job description as such. It's usually times when we get a little tired and when the pace gets pretty heavy, but the key thing we always come back to is having a vision together. We are called to do this, and we're called to do it together, and we are committed together. Secondly, we had to learn between each other that our gifts and personalities are extremely different. Mary does not have the gifts to be a Navigator women's rep, and she would probably not go that direction. And for years, there was an intimidation factor as she observed various women in the Navigators. Do you want to say anything about, or do you have that later?
Sort of.
Sort of later. Okay, you'll come back to it? Okay, good. Okay, the other thing is we found out that there are differences in capacity. Now, there are three kinds of capacity. There's capacity as an individual. And then there's capacity as a couple, and there's capacity as a family. Okay, does that make sense to you? And they're all different. And they vary at various stages in one's life. Like Sam and Shirley over there, just your little one, not little anymore, is he? I mean, changed the whole direction of your life and what you could do. It changed the capacity of their family. With Sean, is that right?
Shad,
I'm sorry, Shad. And the fact is that they had to adjust. Or when Mary was ill, that capacity was there. Mary simply does not have the capacity that I have. You know, that happened in the meeting last night, too. Someone spoke up in the middle of... Is that true, Jean? Was that... Yeah. But it's hard for me to recognize that. And even with those whom I work with on a team sometimes, I want to go at a certain pace. See, when you're setting the direction, you do the things for which you have capacity. Now, Mary has greater capacity in other areas, and if she were setting the direction, I'd just probably wear out in trying to follow those particular things. So capacity is a major issue.
Yeah. Just a quick note here. Jerry does have high capacity, and he has a lot of confidence in other people. And part of my growing process has been that my capacity has increased, and Jerry has assumed that I could do things that I knew I couldn't. But because he had a lot of confidence in me, I tried them. And this is what we can do for one another in partnering, we can extend capacities and we can open new vistas of opportunity.
The other thing we realize, and all of you know this, most of the stuff you know, there are stages of life. You know, little children, teenagers, depending on what is happening with yourself health-wise, there are various stages of life that you have to recognize, and you both need to recognize in terms of your capacity to do certain things. The final thing I want to mention on this, and Mary may have some others, is attitude. Attitude is so key that we really do value one another. That is, I honestly believe that God has given Mary these gifts that He has given her, the capacity she has given her, the health that she's given her, or lack thereof, and that God has meant that to blend with me. And by the way, I believe that about teams. When you form teams, whether it be of men or men and women or of women, I believe God sovereignly brings teams together. But nevertheless, I believe that the attitude of valuing each other and respecting each other is extremely important. Okay, go ahead. We're okay. I'm to do that? Okay. I'll press on. We're getting our signals. We're partnering. We're getting the signals straight. Okay, a few comments on partnering as men and women. Okay, we're going to leave the husband and wife, and we're going to talk about either wives working on a ministry team where maybe their husband may or may not be on it, and single women working in a ministry room, or single men working in a ministry team. First of all, if we're going to partner together, there has to be a commitment. Now, remember when we did it as husband and wife, there's a commitment. There was a commitment to marriage. Now, it's not a marriage, but there needs to be a point of commitment that we actually decide that we are going to work together. The second thing is that there needs to be acceptance. And I mean acceptance from the heart. And that is so obvious, except because if we do not accept one another's with our attitudes, it will never work in our activities. And there's just a sixth sense. Have you ever walked into a situation and realized that someone doesn't value you? They never look at you. They never ask you a question. They never ask you your opinion. It's as though you aren't even there. That happens lots and lots of teams. And so somehow, there's a telegraph of the attitude. And then I believe there needs to be equal respect for one another. You were going to share some things, I think, on...
I think in partnering as teams, we have found it very important that we not just have the same vision, but that it's based on friendship. And those things coalesce, and they make a stronger team. I remember when I first met Helene Ashker, and I thought Helene had been born in sinless perfection.
Oh, I knew she hadn't. Yeah, all right.
And that she had every gift known to God and man. But over the years, Helene and I have become close friends. We have the same vision in the Navigator. She has worked on Jerry's team, and we have become friends. I, as a wife, giving support as I can. She, as a woman out on the front lines working with women. That I think we want to see that more and more. And one reason I love to see men and women partnering together is because when there are women involved, it will often drive this friendship a little more than the men would naturally do. Men might be more given to activity and charging ahead. I'm not saying that's necessarily always the case. But women will bring a certain flavor that brings those deep relationships as well as having the vision together.
I think men will tend to drive for functionality and getting the job done, and men will insist that there are better relationships and conflicts being resolved.
Women
will. Yeah, women will. Go ahead.
No.
You're not going to do some more on that now?
Just a little comment in reading the New Testament, and I know you've seen this all yourself, but just watching Jesus with women, if you can pick out a different attitude toward women or toward men when Jesus is dealing with people, you see more than I do. It's so obvious that he has the high respect for both, that there's an inclusion for both men and women in his ministry, that there's an appreciation for what each gender brings to the ministry, and he taught the deep things of God to both. And I just love to see that replicated when we're working together. I think it's a valuable thing, and I think it helps us to penetrate the lost world in an even stronger way.
Certainly, within the a ministry team, gifts are very important. Now, here's a distinction between husband and wife partnering in marriage and women and men partnering in a particular team. When Mary and I were married, I did not marry her for her gifts. In other words, I didn't do a gifts inventory and see whether I would hire her as my wife. In some way. But when you are involved in a ministry team, particularly in the field, then the woman who is working needs to have similar gifts to the men. And there are ministry gifts that ought to be there, whether it be on an administrative team. So there is a requirement of certain kinds of gifting. And they are different, it's true, but they do need to be pursued. Now, one thing that always comes up when we discuss men and women partnering is, what do you do about compromising situations, sexual issues? And, of course, in the secular world, the sexual harassment is such a big issue. And we can talk about that in the Q&A time if you wish. But one thing I just say is be cautious of compromising situations and be cautious of over-emotional dependence. But it can happen in those situations as well as any other. And the basic issue is our holy walk with God, not blaming someone else. I assume this is being taped, is it? Is it?
Yes.
Okay. Too bad. I mean, nobody will want this tape, but with all our stuff we're talking about here. But anyhow, so I'm going to be very oblique on this next illustration.
Can you turn it off?
Oh, I don't think so. I think it'd be better to be oblique anyhow. In one particular country where I was sitting in with a leadership team, and some of you will of course know this situation, we had a situation in the women's ministry where there was a lesbian problem. You all know we had a major homosexual problem with a man that we had to deal with very publicly in our work. But this was sometime after this other situation where we had a lesbian situation. And I remember sitting in with the leadership team. And to two or three of the men on there, it was just an absolute indictment of the women's work. They said, it's all the fault of the... And I said, now, wait a minute. Let's stop right here. Because I said, if a man gets in trouble, do we indict the men's work? But it's, so now a woman has gotten in some difficulty sexually, and you're saying it's the women's work fault. Says, this does not make sense. I didn't get through. I mean, they were so convinced that it was the result of the women's work. Now, there may have been some issues there. Just like any independent, totally independent women's work and a totally independent men's work probably is not healthy. But what was very interesting, in this same country, within the next 10 years, we had at least three men who were unfaithful to their wives and left. And there wasn't any talk about doing away with our men's work. What I want to say is let us not take opportunity of sin to condemn something that is not the right source or cause. The cause is sin, and it should be dealt with. And we need to face these things honestly and righteously. But we cannot blame the issue of just the gender relationships. I don't think that's the issue. I believe that within any team there are some authority limits, and women need to value each other, because there are many conflicts that take place that are men with men and women with women when you have this more intricate set of relationships. Now, just a couple other comments here. We have a lot of history to live down in the Navigators to make this work right. And I don't really know how to do it, to be very honest with you, except for you and I as leaders to model it. And we need to see God bring around our midst women of great talent and caliber, and to bring them into our midst. We have lost a lot of them. And like I said earlier, I can't say that I blame them. And the result has to do with you and I as men who have certain leadership responsibilities about accepting. And by the way, I'm not talking at all here on the issue of whether a woman leads or is in leadership. I'm not talking about those passages. I'm just talking about doing the ministry. That's our job anyhow, is to do ministry. It's not to lead something. In fact, I told, when I was in the Air Force Reserves, I told the generals and colonels who worked for me, I said, you know, you guys are all, and gals, there were several, some women I had in there, were just, you're overhead. You don't do anything. You haven't fixed one airplane. You haven't done one thing. You're just simply overhead. And your only role is to serve the people out there doing the actual work of the Air Force. And so let's never get in our minds that we as leaders are something else. And I'm getting into a little leadership structure. So therefore, the debate on whether one is in leadership or not, I think, is an empty one, because the work is really done at the front lines. That's where we need to be, in reaching the lost and in helping the lost. But so we've got some history to live down. Secondly, I want to say we will always have shades of theological difference. I don't think you're ever going to find all of us in the Navigators on totally the same page. I'll tell you, you sure aren't going to find it internationally, because you have to go by cultures on that. There will be some theological differences, but Al and the leadership team have set down where we are as the Navigators in this regard. And I also believe we should not have exclusive men's or women's ministries in the main. There can be certain functions, there can be some things that we do, but to have them to be exclusive, I think, will do nothing but drive us apart further.
Wonderful.
Yeah, why don't you go with that?
We have some responsibilities as partners, and I just want to mention a few of these. We need to practice interdependence. When Jerry and I are trying to do something together, we have to depend on each other. Both of us came to this event tonight, maybe not at our tip-top best because we just flew in this afternoon. So we have to depend on one another. Now, a number of years ago, we came home from Africa. We went right to a weekend conference, and we were trying to do this together, and it wasn't working very well. And I got up and gave a portion of what we wanted to share, and Jerry got up right behind me and gave exactly the same thing. So we
had no idea what she just said. We're in jet lag.
But the idea of interdependence, and then that we affirm our differences. It's so easy to want everyone to be just like we are, but affirm those differences and what they bring. To allow disagreements. Can we disagree without breaking the relationships? To allow for leadership. Jerry mentioned that. And to share the decision making. That we're not in a dictatorship here. To keep short accounts. Because Jesus can't be seen when there's disunity. So keep those accounts very short. And let's really avoid, if we can, criticism of one another. I like this old Chinese saying, don't use a hatchet to remove a fly from your friend's forehead. Let's not, let's watch this arena of criticism. Somebody said, if you won't write it down and sign your name, don't say it. Because it just breaks us and tears us apart. And then to keep confidences. Oh, that is so important. I broke a confidence with one of my daughters one time. And it just took a long time. I didn't realize that it would be an offense to her. But I shouldn't have done it. And it just took a long time for her to restore that trust. And then, most importantly, let's pray for one another. Maybe nobody else is going to pray for your spouse or for your team members. That puts a responsibility on each one of us.
I'll just conclude with asking the first of the questions that you're going to ask here in a moment. Why don't you have a woman on your leadership team, Jerry? Because I don't on the IE team. I've always had a woman on the leadership team. Helene filled that role for many years. And I really believe that women and men should work together on leadership teams. When I came into this job, the definition of the people who work directly around me, like when Paul came to work for me, I said, Paul, you got a little rule here. You basically wait for the phone to ring. Okay? In other words, you don't go inviting yourself all over the world. And we just simply don't do that. And, of course, Joyce Turner had come back, and I seriously considered having Joyce on my leadership team here, but as I talked with her and as we discussed it and I reflected on it, I felt that she would not have a function or a role. Which leads me to a second point. If the same question is asked about my team, can't we be more diverse? Okay, and I was asked that last night or this morning, I think it was, and I said I'd love for it to be more diverse. I'd love to have an African on it. I'd love to have an Asian. But one thing I have refused to do is to do something so that I will have a better photograph. That is not the right thing to do. Nor am I going to pull someone like Mutua out of Africa or Badu Sichimoreng out of Asia where he is desperately needed in that particular situation. And so the time will come because I really want it. But the fact is that whatever team we have has to have a functional responsibility and a reason for everybody that is on there, not just for a picture. Okay, I think we'd like to stop there, and we've got about 15 minutes so before the mic blows up. That's what I was told. And so let's just have some Q&A time and some interaction together, and Bob will bring the mic around. While he's doing that, I want to say, Mary and I do not believe that we should be the pattern for anybody's partnering. We are particular people who are gifted in certain ways. See, Lucy would do no speaking at all. Lucy would hardly pray in public. Fine, that's Lucy Sanny. Mary and I function differently. No one needs to repeat what we do, because, and we're growing into it, and it'll change probably in the next few years. But we believe in it. And when I see gifted women who, they may be more gifted than their husband in speaking and teaching and some of those things, they ought to use it. Okay, let's just have a little time for interaction. If you want to go into some of the NAV history and so forth, yes.
Could you expand a little bit on the need to have the same shared vision? For example, if a couple were in ministry and were going to change ministries, I'm thinking of a particular situation, but the wife did not feel called to that particular ministry, should they go ahead? How do they arrive at they're married.
Right. You know. Okay, I can't speak for any other ministry, but I can speak for the Navigators. The Navigators, I don't believe the ministry can be done well without the husband and wife having a vision that is very much together. Now, that doesn't mean they do everything the same or they have exactly the same ministry, but they have a vision for evangelism and they have a vision for discipling and for reproduction. One of them may not be as skilled as the other in those things, but that's the heart. Do you have any thought on that?
Yeah, I think the Navigator vision is particular. However, if we had either ministry team or a marriage where one had the vision to reach into the, why don't I go home? I can't get my head together. Say a vision for going into the inner city and ministering to pregnant girls. That would be a total authentic vision, but totally different. So I think that the idea is that we need to track, if we're going to be together in the Navigators, we're tracking together on evangelism and discipleship.
That makes it hard, because there are desires of other things that we would like to do. And there are opportunities that come up for various ones. But for instance, I think of Bob and Merle Glockner. You know, Merle really led the Bible study fellowship. But is Merle a Navigator? Man alive, is she ever. I mean, she is discipling women right and left. I mean, she has never stopped. What's her vehicle? It happened to be BSF, rather than directly within the Navigators. And she of course, was the mover and driver behind that. So.
Mary, when you introduced the subject, you talked about growing and growing in convictions and different things. And I'm assuming that you were referring to you as an individual and Jerry as an individual. But are there areas that you and Jerry attempt to grow in as a couple? And if so, how do you approach that?
Yes, in answer to your question, we do, we're trying to learn together to be more focused. We're trying to learn together to pray more often and more in the same direction. This has been an arena that we've really worked on all our married life, and we're still working on it. So those, I would say, are a couple areas in which we're trying to grow. Balance in our life, focus. There, all of you know there's much more to do than you can possibly fit in the day.
And we also compromise on certain kinds of things. She is not particularly interested in handball, and I have no idea why she isn't. But nor even the handball players I associate with.
Yes, I do. I do like your handball.
Yeah, they're pretty nice guys. But we've gotten to know their wives, and so I drag her into some things, but we do it with forethought that is going to be one of the places we're going to focus. And similarly, she may have other things. She'll not generally drive my focus on the grandchildren. In other words, she'll think of about 10 more things than I ever will about that and have me put it on the schedule and make sure. And that's one way we function together, because she'll have certain things that we put together, but we may not follow through on all the things that we suggest to one another.
One of the questions that we looked at, or the case studies we looked at yesterday, had to do with divergent development of husband and wife, particularly as their husbands developed into stronger organizational leadership roles, and where the ability to be involved in a grassroots ministry can be quite easily and naturally shared when the role of the man is a organizational leadership role that often requires travel and meetings, and it happens outside the home and most often outside the city that they live in. And he gets a lot of development for that role, and the wife generally does not share in that role, or because it often happens that she still has responsibilities in the home. And so her development starts diverging significantly. And that can then create some tension, and we looked at some feelings of resentment and feeling left out and feeling that she's lost her place. She had a place for 10 or 15 years, and now she's lost her place. I'd be interested to know what was your experience as that happened with you, and secondly, as you have observed others going through that, and I know you have, what have been some of the things that you've either tried to suggest or encourage or help minister so that that natural divergent development doesn't create the tension and the misunderstanding and the strain on marriages that it often has?
Yes, our situation did change, and it changed in our home, and it was hard for our children. They did not like it when we left the hands-on grassroots ministry. They loved that. It was also different for me because I took on more responsibilities in the home when Jerry was absent, traveling. But it was also, I felt, a time when I could learn to be functional without being independent of Jerry. I was required to do a lot because his responsibilities took him elsewhere. But I think if the husband and wife can both continue to see that they are contributing both to the kingdom of God and to the Navigator's ministry, it takes some of the tension out of there. Now, maybe I shouldn't even say this, but when Jerry would travel sometimes, it was a bit of a relief. I mean, Mr. High Pace was out of town,
yeah,
and I could accomplish certain things that I had put on. Should I have said that? No, well,
you can repent later.
Okay. But, you know, whenever our situations change like that, it's a good chance to look for how we can expand. And each couple's going to be different. Some of you still have little kids at home, some big kids, some of you don't have any, and so your discretionary time is broad. I'm not sure I can answer real specifically, Matt.
I think there are a number of things to be considered. One is, when there is some divergence, and there always will be, by the way, to some degree, as a wife or a husband develop a particular kind of gifting in which perhaps the other, develops a certain kind of ministry in which there is not a natural fit, or there may not be finances for her to be involved, to travel, for instance, then I think that certain things can happen at a local level by ministry, and you may end up supporting on a local level some of her ministry. But the key is, I think you need to be in it together and supportive of one another. Does not mean there will not be some tensions within the marriage as to who's doing whose job. But you really need to work through that. Sometimes the wife in a marriage situation actually is a better driver for the local ministry than the man is. She's certainly the social glue many times of the ministry, especially if the husband has some traveling responsibilities. Now, as our children got older and Mary was able to travel more, though it tires her a great deal, I have found that our ministry together, internationally or in the U.S., is greatly enhanced by both of us being there. It really, Mary thinks over in Asia particularly, and Al knows this, that Mary says, I'm everybody's mother. You know, I mean, we have now been there so many times that many of the national wives in Asia really feel like they know Mary. Now, they don't know me, you know, but they know her. And what that does to bring us together is incredible. And that would happen whether or not she ever spoke. Mary happens to speak fairly frequently, but that's not the issue. I want to come back to one other thing on a single woman relating into the ministry. I think the friendship between a single woman's rep or in the Navigators with the wives of the various reps is extremely important. There needs to be a friendship. And, you know, there's bound to be at some time little jealousy things and coming up. But we've got to get over that. We've got to be more mature than that and work through those kinds of things. I think the friendship is very key.
Jerry, I have a question. We have a vacuum of leadership within the organization because of a lot of reasons.
Both
men and women.
Men and women.
And is there anything that you see that culturally needs to change within the Navigators to be more effective in recruiting and developing both men and women as well as recruiting them?
Well, there's about three questions there. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and sit down. There's about three questions, Hal, on this. First of all, the recruiting of leadership. When an organization is going through the throes of change and where the mission may not be as clear. Now, it may be very clear to the leadership, but if it's not clear out to the edges, you will always have difficulty recruiting leadership. And for one thing, and I think this did happen a little bit, is when our mid-level leaders feel somewhat uncertain about where the organization is going, they are the prime recruiters of younger leaders. Okay, so that's just related to leadership. The more we're clear on what we're doing and why we're doing it, where we're going, the more people will come around and want to be involved in leadership. But a second issue has to do, we're dealing with a different generation of leadership that are coming up, and they're looking at some different value systems, and we're going to have to know that they need to do things a bit differently, perhaps shorter-term commitments and so forth. The beautiful illustration was that I was down at Pensacola doing a seminar in ethics for the commanders of the various flying training squadrons here a couple months ago, and one of the commanders, a squadron commander there, said he was interviewing a young man who'd come into this gung-ho, wild Navy aviator program, wanted to know why he came to Navy aviation. The guy said, well, it was really third on my list, but the other two didn't work out. And he just about fell off his chair. But that's the way it is now. People are thinking options, and it takes longer to make certain kinds of commitments. On the women's issue, you will have more women that you know what to do with if the environment is friendly and if they know that they're wanted and they're valued and esteemed in the context. But if they sense, and I'm talking sense, that they are not valued and esteemed, they will not come, particularly this generation of women. And of course, we do need to recruit them directly. I mean, we need some people to actually do it. Yeah, Nate, here's a mic.
Would you speak to when it is obvious that a person on a team should not be on the team anymore? How do you let him go?
I just tell him. I mean, I don't know any other way to do it. I mean, it becomes obvious to everybody. And if I were the leader of the team, I'd just have to say, you know, I don't think this is working out. It just doesn't seem to be working out. I'm sorry, I know I don't mean to be facetious. I know it's harder than that, Nate, but the fact is you just have to bite the bullet and saying this is not working out as it ought to be. Now, I hope that would not be the first time they've heard about that. You know, I would think there would have been a number of conversations that would have taken place, and you would maybe have to have had, there are always reasons, either the contribution or the conflicts that ensue, or they are not able to do the task for which they were recruited, or it causes just a lot of problems inside the context of the team. Maybe there's a philosophical difference. And I think you just have to be very honest with them and to do it kindly too. So, and that happens. And by the way, no team is permanent. It shouldn't be permanent. There should be a bit of a escape clause. And there should be a time of reevaluation. Okay, we've had this team for 3 years. How should we change it? Should everybody be on it? Is there someone else that should be on it? And so forth. Okay, we've got time for one or two more, I think, before we... Yeah, go ahead.
Jerry, you made the comment that the team should not be exclusive men's or women's ministries. Would you just expand on that, please?
Yeah. There have been some times and some countries where the women's ministry was so distinct and the men's ministry was so distinct, and there really wasn't any functioning together. I believe that just provides patterns that are not particularly helpful or biblical. And of course, we know we've done this through the years in the Navigators. In fact, mostly we've done men's things through the years. I just feel it's not the best pattern to go for a long-term basis because both tend to become ingrown. And that was what got the criticism in that country, by the way, because there had been a women's ministry that had grown up quite exclusive and closed. There was fault on both sides, I'll tell you that, right now. There was fault in that the men were just happy to not have to bother with them in that particular situation, and the women were really wanting to develop their own situation. So I just feel it's not the best. And so to develop just exclusive women's ministries in the Navigators on a long-term basis, I'd sure want to think twice about it. But to have women's functions is extremely important. And to have men's functions, extremely important. That's not a problem. And to meet the particular needs that can be met only amongst women, or only amongst men, or only amongst couples. Yeah, we need to do that. But not as a long-term organizational structure.